Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Another injured Steeler, James Washington. We'll get to him later this hour. The news on him, not good. We're joined right now by John Clayton. We'll get to Steeler's injuries, but we have to bring John in, his wealth of knowledge and information, and get his thoughts on the Mike Tomlin to the Redskins rumor, which you might want to laugh it off, John, at face value, but then Mike Tomlin didn't really deny those rumors and shoot it down at his press conference yesterday. So what do you think?
I just don't know if that's a Dan Snyder type of move, because, I mean, you look at the history. Normally he's taken offensive coaches, and Mike's a defensive coach. And so I kind of wonder if that's going to be the fit that's going to be there. But if, you know, you're Mike, I mean, you're going to have a lot of rumors when things are going as bad as they are right now. But I don't know if I buy Tomlin to Washington.
Would you buy him to another team? Like Atlanta or Carolina or Dallas?
Carolina, I could see.
Yeah.
And the reason I can see is because, I mean, you have a former minority owner of the Steelers that's down there, and a Pittsburgh guy and all that stuff. So I can see that being a possibility. But then right now, Ron Rivera's done an incredible job of going, you know, three wins with Kyle Allen at quarterback after losing Cam Newton. So he right now is in the process of saving his job. So that job may not open.
What if he only – I mean, if they go 7-9 down there, which I think would be plausible at least, John, I think it's an appealing thing, Carolina, because that's where we constantly hear about Kevin Colbert maybe kind of like parachuting into a soft retirement, going down there for a final job as a GM and being done with it. I would imagine that would be appealing to all parties involved here.
Well, because I think also, you know, it's an owner that I think is going to be very good. I mean, you know, as time goes on, he's going to be more involved, I think, in collective bargaining agreement, not in the current one, but I think he's a bright owner, and he's going to put high standards on the team. 7-9 could open the door for a job change here. I can see that.
John, there was a Redskins plane at Pittsburgh International Airport today, so that's only fueled speculation on this. I am surprised to hear you say that you don't think Tomlin's a Snyder guy. He's from Virginia. He's from one of the most stable organizations. Snyder loves the big, splashy, big-name coach. Tomlin might be the biggest name out there available at the end of the year in a trade, maybe. I'm surprised to hear you think that Snyder – he hired Marty Schottenheimer, who's a defensive guy. So I'm a little bit surprised by that.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like I still remember when he hired Marty, because I was involved in this to a certain degree. You know, he always likes to hire offensive guys. So he hires Marty. I see him after Marty's first practice as a Redskin, and Dan says, well, how do you think we're going to be? I said, I think it'll be 8-8. He says, 8-8? Are you kidding? You're not thinking Super Bowl? I said, no, look at the back of your roster. You only have you have room for only minimum salary guys in the last six or seven spots. I don't see it. And so then Marty goes 8-8 after a bad start, and I get a call from his PR guy, Dan Snyder's PR guy, and said, hey, Dan wants to talk to you. So I, okay, what's up? Dan says, hey, I just fired your buddy, Marty Schottenheimer. You could write it. So, you know, he's not big on defensive guys. I mean, he's brought Steve Spurrier in. I mean, they could promote the new offensive coordinator. But I think he more is an offensive head coaching hire, particularly at an offensive head coaching link.
John, just to carry this out one little bit further, say that there was mutual interest there and that Mike Tomlin said, well, as part of this, I want full control over personnel. Like, I don't want there to be any kind of decisions coming down from the owner's box. Can Dan Snyder actually abide by something like that? Does he put his hands in the business side, or I should say the football side of things, way too often? And do you think he could hold himself back from doing that?
Oh, he'd never sign off on that. But I think that gets overrated as far as what Dan does, as far as, you know, going in and trying to meddle all the time. I don't think he does it as much. I think certainly he did it on the quarterback thing this year because he wanted Dwayne Haskins, and I think Jay Gruden probably wanted Daniel Jones. But, of course, that option wasn't going to be there because Jones went as the sixth pick in the draft. But, you know, he'll come in on the big decisions, not the little decisions. And when things go wrong, then he gets a little bit more involved. And right now, things are going wrong, but I'd never think that he would abdicate everything to a head coach. That's just not him.
John, how does a coach trade work? You've covered some of them. There hasn't been one in the NFL in a long time. If a team wanted...
There was one this year.
Which one?
That was Tampa Bay getting trading, I think it was a sixth-round pick
to
get Bruce Arians.
Oh, yeah, they had to get the rights to Bruce Arians. You're right about
right.
that. But I'm saying, like, an acting, like a coach who's in the league right now getting traded. We haven't seen that in a long time. How does that even work? Who gets the ball rolling? Well, is the team allowed to talk to the coach, or is that tampering?
That would be tampering. But, like, for example, I thought it was going to happen this year with John Harbaugh, because I thought Denver would be willing to try to make a trade for him. And then, of course, out of the blue, and surprisingly good for the Ravens, they were able to get him to a contract extension. And so, I thought there was going to be one. But, yeah, you're right, it's rare. I mean, you get them maybe once every 6 or 7 years. And the way it works is that, because I remember this one back when John Gruden was coaching the Raiders, and I kept on going on ESPN and saying that he's going to be traded. And so it's a playoff week. I'm in the press conference room. He pulls me into a side room. He says, "Why are you saying I'm going to get fired?" I said, "I never said you're going to get fired. I said you're going to get traded." And they're going to be traded to Tampa Bay.
So the coach has no say? He's like a player? He can get traded?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
That is very interesting.
Yeah, because, again, it's like you're contracted to be the coach of the team, and if you trade the contract, I mean, unless you have some clause in there saying, you know, no trade, but no, I don't know if any coach has ever asked for a no-trade clause, because you don't see those trades that often. But, no, you have no choice.
John, Pony and I are taking broadsides here for an opinion that I guess a decent amount of fans, vocal fans on social media, think is crazy. We both watch Devlin Duck Hodges come into that game in relief of Mason Rudolph and just kind of were impressed. We thought there was an it factor there. He was moving them down the field, and but for a fumble, he probably wins that game against Baltimore. What did you see from him? Did you like him to the degree that you'd probably start him over Mason Rudolph if you had the decision, if you had the ability to have both at your disposal?
Yeah, but also, how similar is that to what you saw in the second half of the Seahawks game? You know, when Mason came on, you know, obviously it was no... They didn't study him or anything like that. And, you know, he completed, 12 out of 18 passes or 12 of 20 passes and moved the football. I mean, I looked at it as being very similar to that. And so now there's tape, there's stuff like that. You know, Mason's done some good stuff. I still think Mason has the edge. And I'm stunned today to find out that he actually had a helmet on.
Yep.
And even though he's not been cleared in concussion protocol, but he was out there doing some things. I'm surprised.
Well, they're saying, look, Rappaport just reported that he thinks it's similar to what happened with Josh Allen last week, John.
Uh-huh.
Do you see this? Do you see a similarity there or a comparison?
The only similarity is Mason got hit much harder than Josh Allen. I know that both were very shaky hits, and I know that everybody was screaming in Buffalo. I guess maybe there is a similarity, but so I guess it is similar. But, you know, it's weird to think, because, I mean, he was out. I mean,
John,
am I not mistaken, but
he was out cold.
Out.
It was one of the scariest things the two of us have
seen. He got hit. He got knocked out by the hit, and then his head hit the ground as hard as you'll ever see a player's head hit, because he couldn't stop himself.
That's why I'm just stunned to see him come back this quickly. So I guess there is a similarity, because, you know, Josh not only came back, and he's able to go on the road and beat Tennessee.
John,
even though they didn't score any points.
John, I thought that your old buddy, your old Thomas, should have been thrown out of the game or suspended for that hit. You know, the NFL says they're trying to clean up that kind of stuff. If Tom Brady had been hit like that, Earl Thomas would have ended up in Allegheny County Jail that night.
Probably.
So, you know, first of all, does Earl Thomas have a reputation as a dirty player?
No, he doesn't. But he has a reputation as being a hard hitter. He's always had that reputation. I mean, he'll pop you. Now, again, you know, at the free safety position, he doesn't get as many opportunities to get the hits, and so when he gets them, he's going to go full bore. But what I wondered about is, was there any way that he could have not moved his head so it wasn't going to be a head-to-head type of thing? But I mean, the helmets collided. That should have at least done something. But I don't think he needed to be ejected. I still wonder if they're going to fine him, though.
John, what do you make in general? Because I find it to be telling that the NFL is much more concerned with a Denny's penalty and that kind of play on a quarterback, hitting him low, even though I thought that was a preposterous call in that game that probably decided the game or had a big hand in it, than they are, it seems, about adjudicating and penalizing hits to the heads of quarterbacks. It just seems like the league is much more concerned with a knee injury potentially that could put a big-name quarterback out for a year, as opposed to a concussion that might put one out for a couple of weeks at most.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy that, because I think that, I mean, you go back to last year, I mean, look at the, you know, they were going to start strong with the helmet hits and all that stuff, and they kind of lightened up on it. I just think what's happened now, they bring so much attention with the emphasis that now you can't figure out what's a good hit, what's a bad hit, all those different things, and you still have to take into account, I mean, these people that are making the hits on defense, I mean, they're still flying and, you know, what's intent and what's, well, I think we've seen less intent now that Vontaze Burfict is suspended less the rest of the season, because, I mean, those things were vicious, what he did. But, no, I think they're always concerned about concussions. It's just sometimes hard to make those judgments, you know, in the game and then later on. There's no consistency to it. And now they put on the leg.
John, what do you make of the AFC North right now? It's bad. I mean, that's pretty self-evident. Yeah. But how about the situation in Cleveland? Is it going to get worse before it gets better?
It could. Now, I'll be at that game because they're taking on Seattle. But think about where this is all heading. If they lose to Seattle and they have a bye week, they have to come back against New England. They're 2-5. Their season is toast. Now, again, this is the AFC. There's not hardly any good teams in it except New England, Kansas City, maybe Houston, maybe Indianapolis. So you can still climb back. But, I mean, how about the fact that here's Baker Mayfield. You add, I mean, you got Nick Chubb at running back. You got two Pro Bowl caliber wide receivers. And they score 14 points a game. That doesn't make any sense. They're 8 points less than they were last year. And I know that their offensive line is a big problem, but how much of it is the line? How much of it is the play calling? How much of it is accountability? And they just look lifeless when they were playing on Sunday.
Yeah, John, I think I would apply the "what would you say about the execution of your offense? I'm for it" quote to the Browns at this point. Are the Steelers better, in your opinion, than their 1-4 record would indicate?
For talent, yeah. I mean, look at all the Pro Bowl guys on defense. And, I mean, hey, say what you want. I mean, now you're down to your third-string quarterback, and you're still battling the Ravens in overtime. I mean, you know, it's the talent's there. It's just a matter of kind of keeping guys healthy. And now you throw James Washington into the mix, him not healthy. You got, you know, now you know, we don't know if Mason's going to play, and if he does, how is he going to be? I mean, it's just a mess right now, but the talent is there. But it's hard to do it. It's a quarterback-driven league. How good your quarterback is, a lot of times, going to say how far you're going to go.
John Clayton, our NFL insider here on 93.7 The Fan. John, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
You bet. 93.7 The Fan time, 314, brought to you by ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh. Water, fire, or mold issues, demand the yellow van. You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. Coming up next, is James Washington a bust? It's the PM team.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.